So we've been talking about gratefulness. And last week I told you that if you're going to develop a spirit of gratitude, amen, you have to commit yourself to growing spiritually. Amen. The more you grow, the more grateful you become. The more you grow, the more you realize how good God is. The person that is spiritually mature can recognize how good God is. All right? The person that's immature will consistently say to themselves, thank you, ushers. They will consistently say to themselves, you know what? I know God is good, but, you know, I did this. Or I'm responsible for this. Or I'm responsible for that, right? The person that's spiritually immature will take the credit for everything in their lives. But the person who's maturing spiritually, amen, will give God the glory. All right? Now, remember, gratefulness is something that has to be taught. Gratefulness is something we have to put into practice in our lives, amen, on a daily basis. I want to say this to you. Sometimes, you know, God will bless you just to see how grateful you are. Amen. And then all of a sudden we fail that test. All right? He'll bless you, and then we get so happy about the blessing, we forget to give him glory. Or not just forget to give him glory, or we just give him a little dap. You know what I mean? I'm just high-five you, God, rather than praise him and magnify him and glorify him and stay committed to him, right? A lot of people, and throughout the whole Testament, we've been talking about the children of Israel, right? Children of Israel had this problem. What was their problem? Ungratefulness, right? But last week I stopped off somewhere and I want to pick up right there. I want you to look at your hand for me. And I want to read right down there in the middle. It says, just like the other disciplines. You see that? We need to do what? We need to do this part two. Look at part two. I'm sorry, part two, because I did part two and three on the same side. Okay, on the same side of the paper. If you need a handout, just raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. All right? Look what it says. It says, just like the other disciplines, and this is where I stopped off last week, right? We need to do it what? What we need to do it? Consciously, consistently, and what? Right. We need to think through and meditate on the things what? And so doing, be aware of what? His presence, and practice his presence by being what? Thankful to him. Now, it's easy to take the credit. Listen, it's easy for us to forget. Listen, it's not your strength. Amen. You may have thought it was because you're so smart. Amen. You may have thought that you, because you're so handsome, like myself, you understand? No, I'm just playing. You know, you may think that it was your good looks that got you that far, or your good attitude, or because you had game. Come on, somebody, let me talk to you for a minute. Because you had game, you thought that, you know what, I got the opportunity, or I got the privileges, or doors started opening for me. But may I say this to you? It was nobody. Come on, somebody. Y'all should have finished that. Nobody but Jesus. I'm saying one more time. Maybe you missed it. It was nobody but Jesus. Jesus is the one who opens doors and he closes doors. Amen. And if he so chooses, he can reopen doors for you. But here's the one thing I know about Jesus. He will never reopen a door that he has closed for you. You know why? Because there's a better door waiting for you. Are you with me? There are better opportunities waiting for you. But what God wants from all of us is that we develop this spirit of gratitude. And oftentimes, amen, we can get so wrapped up into ourselves that we get to give credit to God. And that's where I want to pick up tonight. I told you last week that spiritual maturity is important, but I want to talk about tonight remembering. 15 chapters in the book of the Old Testament is devoted, I told you this last week, is devoted to remembering. 15 chapters. I'm going to say it one more time. 15 chapters the Lord wrote to the children of Israel to tell them, don't forget. And guess what they did? Isn't that amazing? You know, it's kind of like your mama tell you don't do something. Boy, you better not do that. And you just keep doing it and you just keep doing it. And you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, over and over again. And you keep running into the same situations. You keep running into the same circumstances. And what you find yourself doing is going around, come on somebody, in circles. Anybody been walking around in circles? Amen. Anybody have ever walked around in circles? Amen. And I want to say this to you. It's because God says to us to remember what he has done for us. Listen, look what it says here. It says, the reason why we practice in his presence, because this stimulates what? Spiritual formation. Gratitude should be what? What kind of practice? Every now and then practice. I'm grateful only when God is good. Listen, how many of you can truly say that you've been grateful? Amen. Even though things have not been going the way it's supposed to be going in your life. How many can truly say that? That I've been grateful. Pastor, I've been grateful. Some of us, we pout. How many pout? Not lately. I like that. Not lately. How many of you get a little too? Amen. How many of you withdraw yourself? You're just kind of like, you standoffish now. You know what I mean? You just stand off to the side. You know, you're like, all right, it's all good. Right? See, you got to watch out for those things. Because those are the things that gives you an indicator of what's going on in your heart. Right? Now watch this. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is where we stopped off last week. And I'm ready to deal with this thing tonight. Y'all ready? My goodness. All right, before we go to Deuteronomy 8, remember my Bible holding it last week? Look what it said. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All right, now, yeah, let's go there first. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. My goodness. And verse 1, look what it said. All right, go ahead. Somebody read that for me. Chapter 8, verse 1, yes. Now, listen. If you ever notice, God keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. If you follow me, if you commit to me, can I ask something? Why is it so hard? I printed out something tonight, but I didn't bring it for you. I brought it for me. Listen, why is it so? Let me see if I can phrase it right. Let me see. Where is it? Oh, yeah, right here. Why is it so hard to apply scripture? How many struggle with applying scripture? Come on, let me see your hand. Be honest tonight. you in the Lord's house, you might as well be honest. You know, I mean, you might as well say, it's me. You know, you want to be a secret disciple, you can do like that. you know, listen, it's hard. Right? It's hard sometimes. This is the issue with the children of Israel. Next week, I'll deal with applying scripture. Listen, this week, I want to talk about remembering, right? But check this out. God kept telling them, if you do it, If you do it, you got to remember this. If you do it, come on. How many of you love yourself? All right, some of us don't love ourselves that much. But I'll say this to you. If you love yourself, but if you love God more, you will do exactly what God tells you to do. And oftentimes what we do is we take shortcuts in this journey and we want a full-time blessing. We want a legitimate blessing with a shortcut approach. Oh, I'm going somewhere. We want God to legitimately bless us, but we won't do what he tells us to do. And that comes from a heart of ingratitude. Are you with me? Watch what he says. He says, all the commandments I am commanding you today, you shall be what? Careful to do. Right? You may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. Verse 2. And you shall remember. There it is. That's the word I'm looking for. You shall what? All. Stop right there. Let me show you something. You may be in a situation tonight. Watch this. You may be going through something tonight, right? And all the while you're going through tonight, it's painful. Anybody going through any, y'all look all good tonight. Anybody going through any painful stuff? Amen. Anybody? Anybody going through something that may be causing pain in your life? Listen, maybe discomfort, maybe disconnect, maybe... No, go ahead. You just switch it out for me. All right? Maybe disconnect, maybe something you're going through tonight. Maybe it's something you're going through tonight. And while going through that tonight, take it up just a little bit. While going through that tonight, right, you're feeling the pain, right? You're being attacked by the devil. Stuff is just falling apart. Mentally, you're not stable. You follow what I'm saying? You got some things going on, right? You're feeling the pain right now. But watch this. God will deliver you. Because trouble doesn't last always. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, joy comes in the morning. God says, I will dry your eyes. Amen. But right now in your painful predicament, right, you can feel the hurt. You can feel the disappointment. You may feel whatever you're feeling right now, but watch this. It's going to pass. I'm going somewhere. But here's the problem about it passing. When pain passes, we oftentimes forget the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. When pain passes, we often forget who brought us out. When pain passes, gratitude leaves. And that's the reason why we have to consistently, listen, God was telling them, listen to what God was telling them. See, here's the thing. When you're not grateful, a person can paint a picture of a future for you, right? That's awesome. God says, I will take you. I will multiply you. I'm going to bring you into land. God is telling them, listen, some great things is about to happen to you. Listen, you can give a person all the accolades and paint a picture of a beautiful future. But if they are not grateful, they will never appreciate what you're saying to them. And that's what the issue was with the children of Israel. God had painted the picture for them to say, listen, when you go into the land, You'll possess this land. Look what he says. You will possess this land. But remember what they did in Numbers? Remember what they did? Remember what they did? What did they do? They sent the spies in because they doubted what God had already given them. Why? Because they could never appreciate what God was trying to give them, because in their hearts, they were never grateful. Are you with me? In their hearts, amen. They did not, watch, they did not come to the place where they could appreciate the picture that God was painting for them. You know, you can try to give a person good things. Come on, somebody. You can try to give your child the best life. But if that child doesn't want that life, oh, I'm talking to somebody tonight. If that child does not desire that life, listen, if that person, listen, you could have a spouse where you're trying to elevate them to the next level, but if they're not seeing the picture and if they don't appreciate where you go, where you're going, it's difficult for them to appreciate where you're going, then they will constantly be ungrateful. That's what's going on with the children of Israel. God told them, if you live for me, I'll bless you. Now, can I ask you something? What's so hard about that? And why is it so hard for us? Come on, y'all. We get happy on Sunday. We get happy, you know, when we come to church. But the moment we get in our cars and we leave these doors, man, and we get down that street, man, life just hits us smack in the face. And we're saying, man, it's rough. Really? Listen, God says, I'm going to give you something. Listen, what you want, I'm going to give it to you because I'm God. I have a great future ahead of you. But what you and I have to learn to do is to consistently say, you know what? I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful for the things that you have done, but I'm going to remember your promises because your promises are true. Watch this. It's easy to forget. So tonight I'm talking about remember. Just remember. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to remember. You got to remember. Listen, you didn't get here by yourself. God did, listen, it didn't happen. It didn't happen just because you caught. God did it for you. And because God did it for you, you have to remember what he has done. Listen, you were nothing when he found you. He picked you up. He gave you a purpose. Some of us don't even understand our purpose. See, because if you understood your purpose, you wouldn't have a problem with the picture. The picture that God was painting for him is when you do right, if you be careful, watch it. It's right there in scripture. If you do be careful to do that, if you be careful to do the commandment, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. Let me say something about God. Let me tell you something about God. God keeps his promises. Listen, people break promises. Pinky promises, all kinds of promises. They break it. Marriage, listen, they get married, they break their promise. Amen. They go and get a car loan, they break their promise. They go buy something on credit, they break their promise. But God never breaks his promises. If God says, if you do this, this will happen, you better bank on it. That's why it's important to know his word. Right? Now watch the text. Watch verse 2. And you shall remember. Why is God telling them to remember? Remember what? Remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the what? In the wilderness, these what? These what? It had been 40 years. What was supposed to be a 4-day trip turned out to be a 40-year journey. I'm talking to somebody. You should have already been further than where you are. What should have taken you a week has taken years. Come on, somebody. Why? Because maybe you have forgotten the wilderness experience. You see, because sometimes Satan, what he'll do is he'll move us to a place. Amen. And he'll get us to start forgetting the wilderness days. Come on, somebody. How many of you remember the wilderness days? See, just because it's in your past doesn't mean that God wants you to forget it. God wants you to use those wilderness years, watch this, as a platform. Come on, somebody, to move you, amen, into your future. See, those wilderness years, those formative years, are fundamental to your growth. See, watch this. They should not have been walked. Listen, they walked around in. Listen, at some point, somebody should have been like, man, we were here before. Shoot, it's a big old desert, but man, this looked familiar, man. I mean, seriously, does this look familiar to you? But see, when we're not grateful, see, and all, now watch, you want to know something that's real deep? You want to know something deep? Anybody want to know something deep? Deep stuff. This is real. The Bible's real, by the way. Watch this. For 40 years, their sandals didn't wear out. Oh. Their clothes didn't wear. They wore the same clothes 40 years. Can you imagine wearing the same thing for 40 years? My question, how they took showers? I'm just saying. 40 years, they wore the same clothes, and yet God sustained them for 40 years. You know why? Because God was being true to his promise. Even though they were disobedient to him, he provided for them. Let me paint the picture. You just get enough. You get your paycheck and you just got enough. You pay your bills and that's it. Enough. That's part of the plan. Because God knows if I give you more. Man, if I give you more, it's trouble. I want to move out of that category. Come on, somebody. Anybody want to move out of that category? God, I don't want to be in your just enough category. Come on, somebody, walk with me, will you? Amen. I want to move in the gratitude category so that the more grateful I am, the more you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon my life, consistent flow of blessings, because I'm out of the just good enough or the just enough category. Now watch what God says to them. If you do this, you gotta remember the commands, but then you gotta remember what? The way which the Lord your God led you in the wilderness these 40 years, watch this, that he might what? Let's stop right there. Let me talk to you for a minute. Y'all sit and I'll sit. Watch this. This is sitting down stuff. Watch this. God said, I got to humble you. See, what we don't realize sometimes is the things that we're going through in our lives, God is humbling us. Those wilderness experiences is to humble us, to get us to the place where we recognize that it's him. God, it's you. Yeah, I pray every day, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I understand all that. But are you humble? Because at payday, we don't even see you. Amen. Payday, your attitude just changes. You got a whole new look about yourself. You follow what I'm saying? You know, payday changes people. I always say that, right? Payday changes people. It does, man. You look different. Right? Until you got to pay them bills. And you're like, shoot, shoot. Yeah, I mean, I'm back. I'm mad again. Amen. But God says, I have to humble you. watch this, testing you. And I want to tell somebody here something today. God wants gratitude for you, from you, but before he can get gratitude, he has to humble you by testing you. Now, the test may not come as something hurtful. He may just give you an extra bonus on your check. Mm-hmm. He may open up an opportunity for you, and you're like, whoa, this is pretty cool. All right. Woo-hoo, we done made it now. We got an extra $50. Woo, woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, $50 to some people is like $5,000. But some people can't handle that test. You may go to the grocery store, right, and you may pay for your stuff and get some extra money back. That's a test, y'all. That ain't a blessing, okay? That's a test. That's miscalculation on the part of the cashier. All right? It's not a blessing. Don't be thinking it's a blessing. Like, Lord, done bless me now. Amen. God tests you every payday. Amen. God, every payday is a test. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Every payday is a test. Every payday, God says, okay, let me see what she's going to do. And he just sits back and says, okay, let me see how grateful she is or he is for what I am doing in your life. God wants to see that. And listen, don't you ever regret what you're doing for God. Don't you ever regret that. That's a test. You see, because sometimes we say, well, I need it. Listen, if you need the tithe, something wrong. I'm going to say it one more time. If you need the tithe, something is wrong. You know what's wrong? You're living wrong. Amen. You're living on stolen money. Amen. And stolen money doesn't last long. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't want to hear that. You're like, oh, here you go with the money talk. Amen. He says, look what he said. He says, I had to humble you by testing you. Watch this, watch this, watch this. To know what was in your heart. To know what? You want to know why it's so hard to apply the word? Because we got a lot of junk in our hearts. Got a lot of stuff in our hearts that does not belong there. God says, I'm testing you to see whether you will keep his commandment or not. In other words, God's saying, I want to see if you'll be grateful or not. Will you follow me? I have to allow you to walk through that desert, that wilderness for 40 years. Wearing the same shoes and same sandals and same clothes and feeding you manna and feeding you quail and giving you what you need to eat and to sustain your life. I sustain you during your wilderness years. Now it's time for you to walk into Canaan and live in prosperity because God understands your pain. He understands your suffering. He understands what you've been through. But here's the question. What happens to us after we get to Canaan? I see so many people come to church broken. God ministers to them through the word of God. They get well, they get better, and then they come to church looking like God did something to them. And that's ingratitude, y'all. Listen, listen, if you're grateful, saints, you will show it. You'll show it. You know how you'll show it? In your actions. Listen, you can keep telling a person you love them. But if they don't do it, if they don't have no action behind that love, it's just lip service. Right? And God wanted to make sure that his people were not just giving him lip service. So what does he have to do? He had to test them. He had to humble them to see if they would keep his commandments. May I ask you a question? What does God have to do? Amen. Does he have to do anything else for you to be humbled, for you to show your gratitude towards him? I hope not. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, so, and he humbled you and let you be what? Now watch this. And when you were hungry, now here's the thing about God, right? This is the part I love about God, right? When God, whatever God allows in your life, he provides. It's about your reaction. Some of us, we respond hastily. Right? We got a lot of haste in us. We got a lot of stuff going on inside of our hearts. We're so aggressive and we're hasty. And what God says is, listen, you need to chill out, man. You need to relax. And the reason you need to relax is because I'm testing you. Listen, just because you may be going through right now, it's not the end of the world. It's not over for you. There's a future. See, this is why people commit suicide. They get to the point where they're hopeless. You know why they're hopeless? Because they're hungry. They're in the wilderness. They're hungry. Not only are they hungry physically, they're hungry spiritually. They're broken spiritually. And in their brokenness, they feel hopeless, and the only way to fix it is to end it. But God says, watch what God said. God said what? God said, and he humbled you and let you be hungry. God says, I'm not holding it back. Yeah, I'm the one that stopped up your food. I'm the one that caused you to be hungry. Yes, I did it. But then look what I did in the next breath. And what? And fed you manna. You know what the word manna is? What is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? They just ate it. They didn't know what it was. It just tasted good. You ever ate like, come home, you're like, you didn't know what it was. You're like, shoot, whatever you want to call it, I'm eating it. It's good. And every day they ate manna. God says, in the wilderness, I tested you. I humbled you. Watch this. By allowing you to be hungry, but then I swooped down and I fed you. The same God that tested you is the same God that will bless you. Are you following me? Watch what he says. Which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man, watch this, does not live by bread alone. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, y'all. This is making a lot of sense to me. Watch this. Man. We only equate God with things. The God we imagine is the God that will give us a new car, give us a new house, give us this, give us food, give us bread, give us a better job. That's the God we imagine. But what God was saying, man shall not just live by bread alone, but what God wants you and I to understand that if we're going to be grateful, we got to get into the Word. We have to be fed spiritually. We have to eat from the plethora of food that he offers, from the big buffet that he offers. Amen. Listen, God is saying to us, spiritual food is more important than physical food. See, and this is why, watch this. Now, the reason I say this is because he humbled them by showing them it's not about your stomach all the time. It's not about your appetite all the time. It's not about what you want all the time. It's not about physical comfortability all the time. It's not about creature comforts. It's not about just having things. It's about your relationship to him. He says, look, watch what he says. He says, I had to show them this so that they might what? Understand. Oh, this is a beautiful passage, boy. That what? That man does not live by bread alone, but by every what? But by everything that proceeds out of what? Out of what? So let me ask you a question. How much food are you eating spiritually? Some of us, this is how we do it, right? We'll eat on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Two, you may come to Bible study. So you miss Bible study. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can I ask you something? Did you eat today? How many of you ate today? Let me see who didn't eat today. Who didn't eat today? You didn't eat today? How many ate good today? Let me see. That's why you sleep in the front row. How many ate good today? Right? What I'm trying to say, y'all, is this. If you put that much effort into eating physically, if you don't eat spiritually, you will never understand what God is trying to do in your life. Because guess what? Because it moves you to a place where all you want from God are things. God, bless me with this. God, bless me with that. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, show me this. God. But God says, when's the last time you ate a good spiritual meal? Amen. You see, this is why I believe Bible study is important. The reason I believe Bible study is important, because in Bible study is where you get to grow. Right? Sunday, you get a buffet. Right? Tuesday night, guess what you're getting? You're getting a specialized meal. You're getting a chef-made meal. Each and every one of you are getting a different type of meal tonight. So that's one thing he says. He says, I wanted you to understand, to be grateful, watch this, for the food that you're getting. And realize that you cannot just live on material things, but you have to pay attention to your spiritual life also. Now watch this. Watch verse 4. I said it earlier. Here it is, right? I'm a prophet or a son of a prophet. Read verse 4. Your clothing did not what? Nor did your foot swell. They wore the same clothes. Listen, we are so worried about food, clothing, and shelter that we neglect our spiritual obligations to God. And listen, that's gratitude. God, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. I know I have to eat. Listen, you have to eat every day, every week, every day spiritually. So in other words, you got to get up in the morning, you got to get on your knees, you got to pray, you got to read the word of God, you have to study God's word, you have to listen to the word of God, you have to listen to sermons, you got to do these things, because if you're not doing it, see, the question I've been getting lately is, Pastor, I know the word, I hear the word, I know all this stuff, but I just can't do it. How many have that problem? You have a hard time doing sometimes. You know why you're not doing? You know why it's hard for you to do? The reason it's hard to do is because you're not being fed consistently. It has to be a consistent diet. Not just once a week, but every single day. Because that's what he was trying to say. He says, listen, may I say this to you? God is saying to us tonight, if you focus on the spiritual, I'll bless you. With the material. I can prove it to you. You want me to prove it to you? All right. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Y'all mess with me now. Y'all challenge me now. Matthew chapter 6. Some of you are so worried about stuff. I did this before. I'm going to do it again. Verse 25. Read it for me. For this reason.
Mm.
Stop right there. Man should not live by what? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? But the Bible tells us, stop worrying about your apartment. Stop worrying about your car note. Stop worrying about how things are going to be, bills are going to be paid. Stop it. Focus on eating spiritually, and I'll show you some stuff. You know why? Because I'm the God that created everything. But you got to believe. But see, here's the thing. You can't just come to God just because you want food, clothing, and shelter. Because guess what? You can't fool God. Go on, go on. Read that for me. Go ahead. See, some of you want to go to the mall shopping? Go ahead. Huh. Isn't life worth it? Listen, we go to work, we pour our lives into these companies, and we give all of ourselves to this place, all to go buy food. Come on, somebody. Listen, life is more than that when you have Jesus. When Jesus is a major part of your life, you will use your job, amen, for the mission of Christ. God will change your direction. He'll change your motives. He says, isn't life worth more than that? So the question is, what's your worth? Good question. Good question. I want you to write that down. What's your worth? See, because what you evaluate your worth against is what you are. I want a better car. I want a better house. I want this. Listen, we got to pay these bills. Okay? Can't do that. Life is worth more than that. And that's what God was trying to tell them in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He was saying, listen, man, listen, y'all. Life is worth more than me feeding you manna every day. You're so worried about your clothing for 40 years, your clothes didn't wear off. Somebody getting this tonight. You didn't have to worry about food. I fed you. Watch this. All of the complaining we do and all of the extra worrying we do, and we still got a roof over our head. We're still eating. I know it's the first of the month. I know. Amen. I know all these things, but guess what? You're still alive, aren't you? And y'all look like y'all doing pretty well to me. Pastor, you don't know the story. Y'all look like y'all doing pretty. Nobody look like they're missing no meals up in here. Amen. Including myself. We ain't missing no meals. Right? Read on. Read on for me. Look at the who? All right. Keep going. See that? See what I'm talking about? He says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, but yet, listen, if the birds aren't worried about it, why are you worried about it? Read on for me. Are you not, listen, do you think the bird's worth more than you? The Bible said God made you a little lower than the angels. Just a little bit lower. The Bible also says we're made in his image. See, what I found out is that when you don't understand your worth, when you don't know who you are as a child of God, when you don't know your worth, listen, you will do just about anything with your life. And you will compromise what you believe to survive. You don't have to compromise who you are. Amen. Nothing. You know why? Because you're worth more Maybe nobody's ever told you that. But I'm telling you tonight, you're worth more. You're worth more. Amen. Read on for me. Read on for me. See what I'm saying? If you worry all this time, can it change? Does it change anything? No. Keep reading. What God was saying there is that Solomon was one of the richest men that ever lived. And he had all the greatest clothes and he had all the fine linens and all this stuff. He said, but the lily, I clothed the lily. And if I clothed the lily and I clothed Solomon, don't you think I can clothe you? Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried about how you're going to finish? Why do you worry about how you're going to make it next week or next year or how you're going to go forward and do this? See, and here's the problem with people. They worry so much that they compromise the tithe. And then you tie God's hands because God will not bless a mess. And he will not bless a person who comes into his presence with a gun and stick them up every week. He says, you're robbing me. And then this is what the children of Israel say. How are we doing that? They didn't remember. So does this make sense, right? You're robbing God, but yet you want God to bless you. And God's like, man, you put me in a compromising position here. Why are you putting me in this compromising position? I want to bless you, so what I'm going to do is I love you, so I'm going to just give you enough grace. Just enough, and you're just going to have enough. Just enough, that's it. No, nothing more. But if you release what belongs to him, now you're untying the potential in your life. And you're allowing God now to move because you're grateful. Because gratitude is there. And here's the thing. When you give, you got to give from a good heart. Listen, don't give worrying, oh man, how am I going to pay my bills? How are things going to work out for me? Hey, it wasn't yours in the first place. So why are you worried about stuff that's not yours? It's God's. It belongs to him. It's his. Right? He says, because when it all boils down to it, it's going to be God who's going to bless you. Read this for me. Read this for me. Verse 30. Men of little faith. That's what it boils down to. You know what I found out that hinders your gratitude? Little faith. Little faith will cause you to have little gratitude. Verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we clothe ourselves? Verse 32. For all these things, the what? See, here's what happens to us. We start taking on a mindset, a worldly mindset. That's what the Gentiles seek. Gentiles are the world. Listen, in corporate America, what's the rule? Work hard, step on everybody, get ahead. Follow what I'm saying? Stay here 65 hours a week. All right? 70, 80 hours a week. You work hard. You dedicate. Forget your family. Forget everything. And you work hard and you'll climb the ladder and you'll make six figures. The Gentiles. The Gentiles eagerly seek these things. But what does he say? What's the rest of the verse say? For what? That's my phrase right there. Circle it. Highlight it. Copy it. Print it on your mind. For your heavenly Father, what? I ask you something. Do you think God doesn't know what's going on with you? Or are you so spiritually dry that you don't even think that God knows? See, when you don't eat spiritually, you may forget that God knows. But let me say this to you. The same God that you think that don't know is the same God that's feeding you every day. Same God that's keeping that same old clothes you have, but look new. Amen. You're just recycling. That's all you're doing. Amen. You got the same clothes. It's not wearing out, but you look good in it. Come on, somebody. That God is the same God that's taking care of you. And that God is the one that we ought to be grateful to. Are you with me? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He says, what did he say? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33 is key. But seek what? And what? Can I tell you something? This is a formula for success. Listen, y'all, can I say something to you? The reason you're struggling, because you haven't been putting them first. You put everything else first. You know what I find out? Sometimes I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is grab my cell phone. That's a shame. Shame on me. First thing I do is, let me see. Like a lot happened overnight, you know, in my exciting life, you know what I mean? you follow what I'm saying? I'm just saying, right? We want to go on Facebook and look at what everybody else has done. First thing we do is we do everything else first. We go grab our coffee, we go grab our breakfast, or we get dressed, and we did not seek him first. The first thing, first business of order. I challenge you to do that. Try it. Put him first before everything, before you even step out the bed. Say, God, I seek first your kingdom today. Drop on your knees and pray. Just drop on your knees. Just roll over and just drop on your knees. And say, God, before I do anything else today, I want to seek first your kingdom, because you said, now this is how you got to pray it now. You got to pray just like this. God, because you said, now this is what you got to do. When you hold him to his word, boy, he likes it, but he's like, okay, I'm going to show you now. Now you done called me out. You don't want to call God out now, okay? Because when you call him out, he'll show you out. And so what you say, God, you said in your word, that if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you said all these things will be added. Lord, the car note is due. The rent is due. Amen. The cable bill's due. Amen. My boss is tripping. Amen. Family tripping. Lord, so would you help us? And I'm being for real. I'm being for real. Lord, I'm seeking first your kingdom this morning. So I'm asking you today, God, that you would add all these things to my life. Because your word says that if I seek first your kingdom, you'll give it to me. That's what he said. And I want to tell you something. I've tried him. I've called God with this scripture and say, God, listen, you said. Look at verse 34. He says, therefore, this is what most of our problem is. Do not be anxious. Or that word anxious means to worry. For tomorrow. See, many of us are so worried about tomorrow that we're neglecting today. He says, do not be anxious about for tomorrow, for tomorrow will what? Care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, God is saying, deal with today and let me deal with you tomorrow. Trust me. Believe me. And I'm going to bless you. Back to Deuteronomy. Amen. That's the formula. That's a formula. That's a principle. Listen, if you take God at his word tonight and say, from now on, today, right now, I am going to trust God and I'm going to believe him and I'm going to go forward and I'm never looking back. Amen. Starting then. Look what he says. Look at verse 5. Verse 4, right? Do you find this intriguing? I mean, they're wearing the same clothes. Seriously. 40 years they wore the same clothes. Is that like that's not possible? It's possible. The Bible says. Their foot didn't swell. After they walked around in circles, 40 years. I'm not talking about 4 years. I'm talking about 40 years. Now watch this. Look at verse 5. Thus, you are to know in your what? That the Lord your God, I had to get here tonight. I had to get here, and I'm going home. I'm going home. We're going home. I promise you, we're going home. So I said, man, he preached long. For the Lord was what? Disciplining you. Just as a man disciplines his son. See, let me say this. The discipline of the Lord is not to be taken lightly. God wants you to be grateful. If you don't recognize the discipline, there's something wrong. If you don't recognize the testing, then something is wrong. So stop ignoring the pain and realize that it's God that's trying to get your attention. You may try to go a different route, but it isn't going to work for you. You cannot avoid the discipline. You cannot get around it. God will catch up with you. God says, I did all this because I was disciplining you. But look what he says. Like, just as a man disciplines his son. So in other words, what God is saying, God does not discipline to destroy, y'all. He disciplines to correct, to change. But what we get into our minds and some of the teachings we've heard is God's going to kill you. Listen, that's not the God we serve. How many of your parents disciplined you before? Hey, everybody in here. Did it hurt? How many say it hurt? It hurt, didn't it? Did you change? Not right away. Some of us, how many hard-headed? Let me see your hand if you're hard-headed. Yep. I see you. How many real hard-headed? Not no more. I'm not hard-headed no more. God had to show me I ain't hard-headed no more. Right? Listen, God will whoop you once. And you're like, okay, straighten up for a week. You finally say, yeah, mama ever did something. Your mama whoop you, your daddy whoop you, and you're like, you do right for a week. But there's something inside of you. Come on, somebody. that just caused you to go right back. Right back to what they just told you, do not do. Why do you keep going back there? And so what God got to do, he's got to keep disciplining you like a child. Some of us got different temperaments. Listen, for me, when he disciplined me, that was it. One time. That was it, man. I flew straight. Because he had been patting me a little bit throughout life. You follow what I'm saying? He'd been putting me in time out. Come on, somebody. He had been putting me in time out for a long time. And then he says, okay, this boy ain't getting it. So he had to unleash real discipline upon me. And when he did that, that was it for me. I've been on that road. 25 years old. I've been on that road. I ain't turning back. Listen, I remember. Come on, somebody. What it felt like. Some of us, we walk around in the wilderness, and when we get out, we forget what it felt like to walk around in a desert place, in a dry place, in a broken place, watch this, in a hurtful place, and watch this, and now we've been delivered, but we forget so easily that it's easy for us to go back. So what does God have to do? He got to discipline us again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Can I ask something? How long? I'm just saying. Listen, some of us want to do wrong, but listen, you were meant to do right. And you may want to do wrong because of what you see and the environment that you may be in, but God wants you to do right. Listen, let me share something with you. You never go wrong doing right. I'm going to say it one more time. You never go wrong doing right. But God says, I had to discipline you like a father to his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to what? Fear him. Now, may I say this to you? Do you think they kept their promise to God? Nope. Just like a stubborn child. You know what had to happen to this generation? They all died out in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. They never got to see what God had promised them. But watch this, because God is so faithful to his promise, I'm closing. He gave it to the next generation. Do you think the next generation did right? Of course not. He had to discipline them too. But they did make it in. All right? Even though they rebelled, even though they doubted, God still gave them what he promised. But listen, I would rather have a blessing. Watch this. With ease, amen, than a blessing that's imposed upon me. You see? I want a blessing because I've been obedient. And somebody here tonight, I want to say this to you. Amen. Come on up. I just want to say, listen, how long does God have to keep disciplining you? Don't you think it's time? And I want to say tonight, listen, you can come. I want to pray for you tonight. Amen. You might as well come on. I see some of y'all been whooped, battered, bruised. You've been going through a lot of stuff. And listen, tonight you can turn the tide. You don't have to be stubborn. You don't have to want it your way. You don't have to want it your way. God's way is better. And today, maybe you've been walking around that wilderness. You've just been walking around. You're living on just enough. And God says, I have an abundance for you.
I want to move you to overflow. Maybe tonight you want to be grateful. You want to get up from under the discipline and move to a place of gratefulness. Because listen, remember what he says, man should not live by bread alone. In other words, stop living to gratify your flesh. Your flesh is causing you to disobey God. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat and where you're going to live and all that. God's going to take care of you. And so tonight, if you want to come, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight that you can get out of that cycle and that you can walk in gratefulness tonight.